We ready? Mm-hmm. Everybody ready? All right.
Hey guys, I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
I'm gonna hurt. Do not like on my carpet.
I don't know nobody to try to get it to come out here or here.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all of his carpenter friends.
Hey guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
Okay.
Oh, what am I gonna say though?
Now y'all made me nervous.
It's gonna be a time.
I'm
a sensitive
boy. I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
I've been hit. I got the little frilly socks and everything.
Together, we make the Music List podcast. All right, welcome back to the Music List podcast.
Award-winning.
That's right. We have gone back-to-back state champions, baby. And actually, Arkansas and beyond, because it's not just Arkansas, right?
There was somebody from Los Angeles that won an award.
So we are now
all the way here.
Nationwide. Yeah.
So what you're saying is if I'm understanding you correctly, we are now the nation's best music podcast. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, they weren't nominated in our category,
but they were nominated
in the awards.
But just so I understand, our cast now is open for all American made podcast.
I guess so.
And we won.
We're basically the best.
So we're basically the best music podcast in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how I understand it.
Whoa, all right. There you go. So, yes, we do, before we get into this podcast, we want to make that announcement. We won Best Music Podcast, second year running at the RCAST Awards. It's primarily Arkansas-based podcast, but apparently they're opening up nominations. You know, it was, I thought, regionally, but if there was a nomination from California, then yay for us, right? Yeah. So that's great. We like to win things because we're competitive, first of all, but it also means we want to thank you guys because y'all were the ones that went out and voted for us, posted the nominations, got us enough nominations to get on the list, to get into the categories. And we want to thank everyone that took the time to vote for us, because we won. Yay. Super exciting.
Going for the three-peat next year.
Yeah, go for the three-peat.
Call it now.
Yeah. So just thank everybody. And while you're doing that, if you listen to us, particularly on Apple or Spotify, please leave a review if you like our content, because that helps.
Or I guess even if you don't like it.
If you don't like
it, just
don't leave a bad review. If you don't like it, just leave,
if you just love leave a comment.
If you love to hate us.
Lie and leave a good review.
Is all publicity not good publicity? I mean, maybe
well,
if the stars are stuck
better than
a bad stars,
review.
Right?
We yeah, so you could give just give us 5 stars and then tell us you hate us in the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a fair
that.
Trade.
We'll work together on this.
Yeah. So just, you know, again, thank you. And thanks to RCAST for putting that on, because they do a lot of work to recognize Arkansas podcasts. I mean, a lot of work.
Yeah.
To move forward the needle a little bit in podcasting in the natural state. So thank Ty for all of his work and the work that RCAST podcast collaborative does for podcasting in Arkansas.
Fun fact, this year's festival, their keynote speaker was from NASA and is one of my former students.
No.
Yes. Jacob Pinter.
All right. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Was he at Fayetteville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I taught in Fayetteville.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah.
St. Joseph's Catholic School.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Panthers.
So, you know, we're into our holiday episodes now. And so if you didn't catch 2 weeks ago, if you're still looking for gifts for people. We did no skip albums. They're really great albums. So, and we kind of had a big wide range of genres. So like no matter who, you know, the person in your life, what they listen to, who they like, we probably had something on that episode that they would appreciate. So I would invite you to go back, listen to that, get some gift ideas here before we...
you better order it quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Wrap up the Christmas season.
Wow.
That was a good one. That was
funny. It was one.
It was
it's a list.
quit being negative. So, but in the... in the season of Christmas, you know, we love these Christmas episodes. Apparently you guys do too. They're some of our, you know, highly most downloaded episodes that we have. We're going to do best Christmas albums, which I'm really surprised we haven't done this one yet because we've done quite a few Christmas, but we've done a lot of Christmas song categories, but we've not done a Christmas album. So these are the best, not the greatest, the best, because I kind of make that distinction. We know we've had that argument before. The best Christmas albums of all time. Mm-hmm. So we didn't break this one down by decade. We didn't break it down by genre. This is B flat, the best of all times. And just a side note. So like the way this normally works, I kind of pretend like I don't know what they pick, but I know what everybody picks. The Heather and Beth do not know what other people pick. They send them to me. And then like I do this automated draft deal so that it's fair. Who gets to draft first, second, third? We got to see that in action actually yesterday.
Oh man!
Over our dear grandmother passed away during the Christmas season last year.
Yeah,
and she had some beautiful ornaments, gorgeous ornaments, homemade ornaments that she used to make with push pins and sequins and
pearls, and
they were like what probably like. 13,
14? Oh, they're like 20.
There were about
of them.
20 of them.
About 20 of them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I guess we all left with like six or seven of them. Uh-huh. Right? So, you know, we were like, well, how do we do this fairly? How do we separate these fairly? So I got out that draft automator, put our names in. Okay. Well, Beth drafts first.
And per the usual, I went last. I'm the oldest.
So,
and I got last pick on the draft.
Yeah. So, well, you got first pick here. But I didn't even use the draft automator because, like, looking at the list, there's no crossover. So I was like, we don't even have to worry about the draft automator. Everybody.
Has that ever happened?
I want to say maybe it has, but it's pretty rare. And I really thought there would be some crossover on this one because there are some.
Well, we all grew up in the same house. You would think that, you know,
but very different eras.
Different eras. Yeah, that's true. But
it's true.
There are some Christmas albums that are certainly iconic. But what I notice is that did not necessarily mean that they were going to be in people's lists.
Right.
Right. So it's going to be interesting. And I feel like we need to go ahead and get started because like there's... it's going to be a real pain trying to cut four because there's no crossover.
Yeah.
So again, the category, the episode is best Christmas albums of all time. And, just because of the way that we do this, Heather's going to draft first. I did not roll the deal on this one because it doesn't matter. Beth will select second. I will select third. And then because we'll snake draft, I'll draft first in the second round. And then I'll draft last in the third. So, Heather, what do you think is the best Christmas album in the history of Christmas?
Okay, well, I just went. That puts a lot of pressure on me. And
since the birth of our Lord.
Yeah. Well, for me, oh, God. It's going to seem a little anticlimactic, but I stand by it because it's my favorite. So it is Point of Grace, A Christmas Story.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The weary world rejoices, for yonder
$19.99. 14 tracks, no filler. Every single song is good. The standouts, in my opinion, are their version of Carol of the Bells. Of course, Oh Holy Night, which Beth and I are so familiar with at this point. We have sung this song every Christmas Eve, this track, this version for about 15 years.
At least.
Oh Come, Oh Come Emmanuel, the Coventry Carol. There are a couple original songs. There's one called One King. That was my
church singing debut.
Yes. I mean, their harmonies are so good. They're still releasing music in 2025. They started in 1991 at Arkansas-based Ouachita Baptist University. They were in a group called the Ouachitones, which to me, as we're very close to Ouachita Baptist University over here, so we know people that go there. We know people that are in the music department. We have friends that were Ouachitones. And so they started in 91. By 93, they released their first single and got a Dove Award. So, I mean, stuff was moving pretty fast. And like I say, they're still releasing music. They are one member down now. They're a trio instead of a quartet. But this type of album is not about the numbers, really, but they have numbers. They have sales in excess of 8 million and 2 platinum albums, 3 Grammy nominations, 27 number one singles on the Christian charts, 10 studio albums, and 4 Christmas albums. So when you talk about contemporary Christian artists, I mean, they've been doing it for a good long time, and they are solid. And they started out as a live performing, in a live performing group. So they're also very stellar out of the studio and live.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that music program is incredible.
Yeah.
There are a lot of programs. It's like, oh, you can go get that degree anywhere and it means about the same. But to come out of Ouachita with a degree in music is.
Yeah.
That holds some weight. It's a very good program.
Yeah. I wonder how different my life. I mean, I was accepted. I was ready to go to OBU. And in May of my senior year, I changed my mind. Well, and went to Fayetteville.
Be in a cult is what you would be.
What?
Just kidding. I love my people from Ouachita.
Oh, it is a very loyal. I think that being a Razorback, I'm loyal and I am, but there is, I guess, cause it's so small
and you pay your firstborn child to go.
That's
there.
That's true. I mean, Hallie almost went.
Yeah.
Or she looked at it and we looked at all the options and.
Yeah.
Not enough options.
And I went to school across the street from Ouachita. Yeah. So yeah.
That's where I ended up going.
I went to Henderson, and just, because we've got listeners all over the world. We're big in the Philippines.
Apparently so.
it's odd. A lot of listeners. So just want to say Merry Christmas to our friends in the Philippines.
That's right, Merry Christmas. I don't know how you say Merry Christmas in Filipino.
We might be able to talk about how we say it in Hawaiian later on today.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I didn't pick that song. If you want to, this is totally off topic, but if you want to learn about an interesting rivalry, go learn about the Battle of the Ravine, which is the annual football game played from Henderson State University, which is on one side of the ravine, which is now covered by Highway 67, and Ouachita Baptist University, OBU. It's the shortest road trip in America because they're literally like right across the street. Mm-hmm. You could hit a golf ball from one stadium to the next. They stay in their own locker rooms before the game, and they walk across the street in their pads. So it's just a really, really – and. A lot of people that went to school there don't even know the history of Henderson State, which started off as a Methodist school. Mm-hmm. So it used to be not only are they rivals right across the street, but it was Baptist versus Methodist. So it was, you know, it's really, really cool. If you get a chance to go to a Battle of the Ravine, it's really, really cool. That's, you know, cool, so man. I would highly recommend it. And so we went from Point of Grace to the Battle of the Ravine.
But for a music nerd like me in high school, like that's all I wanted. I wanted to be a Washitone. But I mean, obviously I didn't attend there, so I never got to the audition process or anything, but like every girl that was in, that was going to go to Wichita in the music program. I mean, that was the top knot. I remember seeing them perform at Magic Springs.
Right. Oh man.
You know, and our shout out to our, I don't know if she listens or not, but our friend Jennifer Mooney, she was a Washitone.
I did not know that.
Yes. And, so, just the skill and the harmonies and everything. I love that they take so many traditional Christmas carols, but they also put some originals on there, and it's easy on the ears. And sometimes Christmas is such a stressful time that, it's one that you can kind of hum along to, but you can also just listen and have it playing, and it's very soothing there. And so I enjoy it. It's my favorite. There you go.
All right. Well, so I also chose Oh Holy Night from the album that I picked.
You're going to see that a couple times probably.
We could just do a whole Holy Night. It is somewhat of a showpiece sometimes.
We should do a bracket.
Where does Cartman come in on that?
Oh.
Top five, maybe.
Man. Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. But very different from that. Mariah Carey. Merry Christmas.
Stellar.
Keep letting that one play. Man, she's so good. This was her first of two Christmas albums, her fourth studio album. It was released like at the peak of her initial run of her career. Obviously, I did not choose the most famous song on this album. All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is one of the best-selling singles of all time. Singles, period. Christmas or not. Best-selling singles of all time. This is one of the best-selling holiday albums in history, and the gospel. Don't look at me like that was a fake fact.
I wasn't. I was looking. I was wondering why he was making a face.
I'm going to piggyback off that, and when it's my pick.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what?
You have one that's a little better selling than that. Is that what you're saying?
What?
Oh. But the gospel and soul influence sound gave her radio play on Christian radio and on contemporary R&B instead of where she had been solidly pop. And so this album, in addition to being a holiday album, also broadened her stretch and her reach genre-wise. So it's got a good balance of religious and secular songs and some new songs, but mostly songs that you know and are familiar with, because she said that's what people want to hear on a Christmas album. Like, okay, you can throw a couple new ones in there, but she knows, you know, she's a woman of the people, Mariah.
She's just like the rest of us.
Yeah, she's one of us. She knows that people want to hear Christmas songs that they know and they can sing along to, except you can't really sing along with her.
You could be her backup singer.
You know, everybody tries it though in the car.
Yesterday, the girls were definitely trying.
Yep.
And listen, that was pretty good. Listen,
I knew exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but it's time.
Except jump up.
But it's like, yeah, like, yeah. So, Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas, a great album. Just good Christmas song. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say about these. They're all going to have the same songs on them, pretty much. So it's except for, you know, the originals maybe, and then just different arrangements of the same one. So it's like, wow, this one song on there is really good. And then it's also on
I like albums with originals on them because I was just saying before, like as a music educator, you can get burnt out real fast on Christmas because you start doing Christmas in October, early October. And then those ones that you're doing, depending on how many groups you have, you know, you may be doing 10, 20 songs and you're sick of them.
Yeah. I want a quality one or two non-traditional or new composition on the album, but then the rest of it, I want to be familiar with.
Yeah. There are a couple of Christmas songs that I absolutely that's what we should do next Christmas, is songs that will ruin Christmas. I can think of my top three already. So, I mean, like, there are a couple of Christmas songs and they're originals. Maybe one or two traditionals that I literally, let's just skip on straight to New Year's. It makes me hate Christmas music, but.
Oh, okay. That's an idea.
That's kind of negative for Christmas.
It is kind of negative, but we love Mariah Carey.
We do.
And next.
Okay. So I feel like the first round's going to have a really well-rounded kind of feel to it, because we have like a modern gospel deal with Point of Grace. Mm-hmm. We've got Pop Star with Mariah Carey. We're going to go all the way back now to either 1945, 1947, 1949, or 1955, because it keeps getting re-released with a couple of little changes.
Okay.
And it is either Merry Christmas or White Christmas by Bing Crosby. Mm. Which I did not select White Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Get ready for the Mandela effect.
You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.
I'm going to have to go back and look that up.
Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only
on the Mandela effect. I thought it was "You Can
Count on Me." Versions do say that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I thought the Mandela effect was, we thought it was "You Can Plan on Me," but it maybe we all thought it was "You Can Count on Me," because he definitely said "plan."
He says "plan,"
so I had them mixed up, I guess. Anyway, there's a whole conspiracy theory about Nelson Mandela around Bing Crosby. If you
want. What?
No, it's the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
You know, because people thought Mandela was dead for a long time, and he was not very dead. He's very dead now. I think.
I don't. He's not just a little bit dead. Yeah. He's very dead. I think it's, from what I can see, it may have been recorded with both lines at some point by Bing.
Oh, interesting. Well, that adds to the confusion, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. So, depending on which year you buy the album, it's now, it was called Merry Christmas. Now it's called White Christmas. It's really not a studio album per se. I mean, they were all recorded in the studio, but back in the 40s and 50s, it was very common to release singles and not full albums. And so it's really a compilation of singles that has been, you know, compiled into what's really a compilation album. and it is one of the greatest Christmas albums of all time. And in fact, White Christmas as a single is the single greatest selling single in the history of music. Over 50 million just as a single, White Christmas.
Do you say it's the greatest selling
single? It is the biggest selling single. Like it has sold more as a single than any other single in history.
So where does that put it versus Mariah Carey?
Well,
she is one of the greatest.
One of, not the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she had surpassed it for some reason. Maybe on streaming or something. It could be streams.
I would imagine maybe for streams.
Maybe that's what it was.
Definitely radio play. I would say. You know, but it is the biggest selling single of all time. It goes back to multiple, what is called a curated compendium of Crosby's biggest holiday recordings from the 40s and the 50s. And that's why they had to keep reissuing, because there might be one that they want to put on there later on.
His White Christmas
is the one.
It's
the gold standard.
Yeah. And you know, it is on, obviously, from the White Christmas movie.
Great movie.
Which is, it is an iconic movie.
Sisters.
But it is also a really good mix of secular music as well as traditional. You know, his Silent Night is phenomenal. Mm. White Christmas, obviously, we've talked about. I'll Be Home for Christmas. I think it is the quintessential I'll Be Home for Christmas version as well. For me, then he also does like Santa Claus Is Coming to Town and Jingle Bells. So then you get, but then there are some that will get added later on. He ends up in later versions. They add Silver Bells, and his Silver Bells is really, really good. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. His version of that is really, really good. Then he adds, I can't even say this, Meli Kalikimaka is a... which apparently... We believe...
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I think that's... I wish you a Merry Christmas to you, I think is what the song says.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, I was just, correct. I had to sing it in my head for a second.
And then they had, you know, like the first Noel, his Away in a Manger is really good too, by the way. So, you know, this, depending on as it kind of gets curated and narrowed down, I think the latest version actually was like in 1986 or something. Bing is, I don't know that I know any songs of his that are not Christmas.
I don't either.
You know, like, I mean, there are a lot of people that like Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra and guys like that, that have a lot of Christmas songs associated with them. But I can also say, okay, you know, like with Sinatra, for example, mm-hmm. I can name more songs that were not Christmas, but I don't know that I know a single Bing Crosby song that's not a Christmas song. He's Mr. Christmas.
I don't believe I could.
You know. And all of those songs that we know him for are on the Merry Christmas / White Christmas album. So for me, it is the quintessential, stand the test of time, holiday classic album.
That is very on brand for you.
It is.
I'm an old soul.
That's what I figured your number one.
That's exactly
pick would be.
When, because we have to send Ben our song so he can tell us the draft order. I sent my list and he said, dude, our lists are totally different. Yeah. And I said, I'm guessing you have a lot of classics.
So with that in mind, I can go ahead and do my second pick. Yep. And it's A Jolly Christmas by Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
Frosted
Christmas waltz.
Window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things, things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. Wishes you and yours the same thing too.
So I think they did a really interesting thing with this album. The A side of the album, side one of the album, because you got to remember this was back when things were on vinyl, and so there were, you had to actually flip the thing over. Side one was all secular songs. It's Jingle Bells, the Christmas Song, Mistletoe and Holly, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Christmas Waltz, and his Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas may be the best Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's really I said it
better
maybe.
Than Judy. Judy's is really good.
I'm not a big fan of Judy Garland.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Julie Garland.
Oh, Julie Garland. I don't like Julie Garland either.
I mean, are you just giving her like bonus points because her last name's Garland? It's Christmas?
No. No.
No, I prefer his Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Anyway, but the B-side or side two, it's not a B-side. That's only if it's a single, I guess. Side two of the album are carols. The First Noel, Hark the Herald Angels Sing is really good. His Old Little Town of Bethlehem is really good. And then it ends with, like, it came upon a midnight clear and silent night. This was the height of Sinatra's prominence. It's 1957. It's his Capitol Records era, which when he was the hottest ticket maybe in music in the 1950s. Incredible orchestra throughout. Now, it's got kind of two sides to it with that as well. You've got almost like this really classic Christmas orchestra, but then some of the songs also get very jazzy, which Sinatra and jazz are kind of also synonymous as well. So there's a good mix. And then it's when Sinatra's voice was at its peak. And so I think that there are so many, I mean, I would call them classic versions of songs that are on this album. If you like classic Christmas, and I like Frank's voice better than I like Bing Crosby's voice personally. I'm a big Sinatra fan though, which is kind of weird that I also, you know how I'm about country music. I love country music. Mm-hmm. Frank sounds nothing like a country music artist at all.
True.
But you know, he does that Euro thing. So for me, it's a really good mix of jazz and like classic orchestra. And it's not hard to turn classic orchestra into jazz for one thing, so it's probably good. And then good mix of secular with the sacred as well. And it's Frank.
If I were going to have a very formal Christmas party with everybody in fancy dresses and, you know, drinking champagne and everything, this is the vibe I would pick.
Well, I picked the Christmas,
very glamorous,
the Christmas waltz because
I love that song.
I don't know why I like it so much, but I just really like that song. I like it too.
There's a female version of it that's really good.
The Carpenters.
She does one, but it's very much in this feel. It's like they could have taken all this track and put a female voice in it, and I can't remember who it is, but it's really good.
This came right before the album Come Fly With Me. Mm. So that was the next one on the list, and Come Fly With Me was a huge you know, album for Sinatra. So I mean, you know, this was like in prime Sinatra era. So anyway, and I'm a sucker for Sinatra. I'm a sucker for classic Christmas, so that's why it's number two on my list.
Okay.
So I chose the album that has my favorite version of the Christmas waltz on it. I didn't choose that song to play, but it is the Carpenters' Christmas Portrait.
Bells jingling, ring ting tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together. Calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Let's take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Their first Christmas album and their ninth studio album. And man, I just wanted that first part in there because she's so good. Her voice is so smooth. And like the intervals on that song are not easy. And she's dead on every single one at a slow tempo. And when they speed it up, she's precise, but smooth. It's so rich, her voice, the quality.
I think
quality,
she has the most
gorgeous,
pleasant voice maybe I've ever heard.
Which helps a lot for me with Christmas music because there are a lot. I'm just like, I get to the point where I'm like, we have heard the same 18 songs by different people many, many times, starting in November 1, really, because after Halloween, people are like, it's Christmas. Which I get it. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. But it gets to the point where I'm just like, I need something that doesn't make me want to drive an ice pick through my ear. And Christmas can do that. Like the
yes, it can.
The holiday, the music, the jolliness. Sometimes I'm like, stop being so happy. Just stop it. But like Christmas music, like the music, the instrumentation sometimes for me is just garish.
Freaking sleigh bells.
Yes.
It's the sleigh bells that get me.
But yeah, like on this album, it's got a lot of like electronic stuff. And there is some of that classic Christmas feel, but it's not in your face, overly cheesy. It's just cheesy enough, I think, this album. And so, like you were talking about with Frank Sinatra, there are three songs on this album that I feel like when somebody says the name of a song, I'm like, it's that version. Sleigh Ride. The Christmas Waltz for me is that one because that's probably because it's the first place I heard it because it's the version we did in choir and that's what I learned it off of. And then Merry Christmas, Darling is their song. But that song is so good. It's such a great song. So yeah, I just, You cannot go wrong with the Carpenters, really, on anything, but especially if you want Christmas that is not going to make you more anxious. It's a calming Christmas.
Yeah, a calming Carpenter
Calming Christmas. Presence, yeah. So that's that.
Yeah. I think, like, as a choral director, like, I agree. Like, you want sometimes all these words, like Christmas carols have 51 verses.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I mean, like, there are so many words that they fit in
mm-hmm.
to the, you know, it's just, it's so much singing. And I'm a singing person.
Yeah.
But it's just so much singing.
And there are some people that I'm like, I wish you would do less
stop
singing. Yeah.
But not this guy. No. On my number two, this guy's a phenom. We're going to listen to yet one more version of this song. It's David Phelps.
Oh, okay.
That's Oh Holy Night by David Phelps.
He's better than Cartman.
Better than Cartman. Like he adapts. There are so many styles on this album. There's an original song called Joy Joy that I almost played, which I mean I didn't play it all because you really have to hear the whole thing because the lyrics are so freaking good. And then there's his version of Oh Holy Night, Jesus, What a Wonderful Child, Do You Hear What I Hear, Mary, Did You Know? And he adapts to fit all of those songs. And, like, he sings the song does not sing him. You know, he can just adapt everything, and he's just good at everything. And his voice, his range, as you hear, like he went up and he hit the money note on Oh Holy Night, and then he went up and hit it again, and then he went higher even, and by the end it's just, and the thing is he can do it live. I've seen him do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And it's just so satisfying. So just everything he does is so powerful. But he makes it sound so easy, and you don't realize it until you're trying to sing along.
You're trying to sing along.
You're like, oh, wait. But I don't know. Another Christian artist that's in a group, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if he's with them anymore.
I don't think he is,
but he was with the Gaither Vocal Band, and I mean,
woo,
that's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want, if you just want to listen to just vocal gymnastics, that's one of the go-to guys you want to go to. Okay, so my third pick is not like any of the picks so far, and I picked this for a couple of reasons. One, I agree that sometimes there's so much singing, and this is there is singing occasionally, but this is well, we'll talk about it in a minute. It's a TSO.
Oh.
And I chose Christmas Eve, Another Story.
Yes.
You're having your nice little part of a Christmas trilogy that they did. So Paul O'Neill started working with members of the metal group Sabotage. And so the other, you know, three other guys from Sabotage and Paul O'Neill, you know, combined to make Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And he said, my original concept was to make six rock operas, a trilogy about Christmas, and maybe one or two regular albums. That was his plan. So I actually like Sabotage. I mean, you don't hear much about them. They were just one of those kind of obscure, you know, metal bands. But funny thing, they are the first major rock band to go straight to arenas. They never played a club. They never they have never been an opening act, nor have they ever had an opening act. They went straight to the big arenas. And Billboard ranked them as one of the top 25 ticket-selling bands in the first decade of the new millennium.
It's a great show.
If you have not seen them, have you ever seen TSO?
I've not seen them live.
Go.
No.
Go. It is a spectacle the likes of which you see very, very rarely. I mean, it's everything. It's pyro. It's
lasers.
Film. It's lots of lasers. The sound is so, like, you feel it in your chest. I mean, the layering of the sound and the engineering is so big. Everything is just so big. And
wherever they go, they use local talent too.
Yes, they do. They do that. And they also donate a dollar of every ticket that they sell to local and national charities. So their philanthropic work.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, because they sell lots of tickets.
A lot of tickets. Yeah.
Lots of tickets. This particular one has, well, that one was Christmas at Sarajevo 1224. I mean, there are so many of their songs that you probably don't realize because there are no vocals and there are no, you probably don't realize that that's TSO maybe. Some people get them confused with Man, I'm Steamroller.
Not the same.
Not the same. It's not easy listening. It's not sing-along. But, you know, if you want something that has that Christmas feel and also melodies that you would also recognize, but, you know, you just want, you know, you
to rock out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, and I am amazed at the skill of their musicians is just unreal in those, you know, guitar solos. I know Mark has done, didn't he do Wizards in Winter or something?
No,
like
it was
that?
This one.
Was it this one?
It was this one. And it took a lot of practice.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's just, you just marvel at the talent. Whether you're, of course, you know, in a studio album, you can go, wow, that's really cool. I love that. You know, but when you see them performing it
running
live,
around,
it is, you're just amazed. There was one, when we went to see them, they were doing, I think they were doing Lost Christmas Eve or something like that. But, because they tour with different ones of the trilogy. And I think it was The Lost Christmas Eve. And they have all this narration and this film going behind. And they had one with these two dueling pianos. And it was just, it's crazy, the talent level. So this is just, if you like something different, which I do from time to time. I just think that this is a really a good representation of, like, instrumental skill.
Yeah. And what I would say, if you are going to go live, do not stress about getting what you would normally consider a good seat. Because I felt like I've been once, but we were up in the nosebleed of the nosebleeds. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was a better seat than people who were on the floor because we had a picture of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You can see all the lasers every time because they use the space. They do not just stay on the stage the whole time.
Right.
Like, they're coming out.
Performers
for the
are
crowd.
Coming. Yeah.
And so you can see everything. So the cheaper ticket, I feel like, is a better view of a show like that.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It it's an experience that I think everybody who enjoys Christmas music especially needs to have, because it's a show.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a concert.
It's an experience.
It seems like, I know that this really only affects the people here in Arkansas, but it seems like they come to Little Rock with some regularity.
Almost every year,
it seems like they hit Little Rock.
Yeah.
And like,
how could you not go to a place that has rock in the name?
But I mean, they pretty faithfully come here, and it's probably been over 10 years since we went to see them, but they're coming this week, I think, or the week of that we're filming this, recording this podcast. But
my mouth made a fart sound.
Sure. We'll say it was your mouth. Yeah, okay. Sure.
Anyway, TSO.
Skirt. Discussion to a screeching halt. Well,
that's what she thinks about your pick.
No. So, from instrumental, almost instrumental only, to vocal only.
Okay.
Pentatonix. That's Christmas to me.
Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. The herald angels sing. Hark, the herald.
Their blend is so good. And I've never seen them live. I know you have, but I think you said they're phenomenal live as well.
It's stunning.
Yeah. And I know they have. Mouth noises. Say what?
Speaking of mouth noises.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Speaking of mouth noises, here's Pentatonix. Basically the same caliber. Just kidding. Yeah, so they have done a lot of covers of not Christmas songs, and they have some originals that are not Christmas, but they haven't really taken off. They probably don't want to be seen as this, but they're kind of a Christmas group. Like being, like I mean, here's the deal. That's not how they started, right?
Right. So,
if it were me, I could see how they would be thinking, we're not just a Christmas group. We don't just sing only Christmas. I don't know. I've never heard any one of them say that. They're making a boatload of money. So I might be like, yeah, I'm a Christmas artist for sure.
Is it because we're just like music nerds that we like knew of them before they put out a Christmas album, or were they?
They were on that show, The Sing Off. They won I don't know if they won. It was like a vocal acapella group TV show. And that's how I think they kind of really took off. Yeah. But yeah, and I follow them outside of their Christmas stuff because choral voices and stuff like that are impressive to us. But I do feel like most people only hear them, see of them at Christmas. And
I do have one beef with this album. I'm going to see if you address it. And if you don't, then I'll address it myself.
Is it the fact that Let It Go is not a Christmas song?
Nope, it's not that.
Okay. I mean,
I'm not sure. It's close enough.
It's wintry. I don't know what.
Hallelujah is not a Christmas
song. I don't think that's on this album.
Oh, is it on a different
album? It's on a different album. No. Yeah, they put a not Christmas song on a different album as well, which is Hallelujah. Yeah.
I can't.
I know.
It's a breakup song. And it's not a Christmas song.
I know.
And it just irks my soul.
Yeah, no, it's not on this one.
Okay.
But they did choose it for another one. So this was released in October of 2014. And by December 31st, it was the fourth best-selling album of any artist, any genre of that year. Wow. In 3 months, 2 months, What's math? 2 months. So, and it's the highest charting holiday album by a group since 1962. They have great arrangements of classic songs. Their original song, That's Christmas to Me, is also good. It's a good song. And they, with this album, became a Christmas staple. You are going to hear them every Christmas out and about somewhere, whether you want to or not. They're everywhere.
Is White Winter Hymn on?
It's on this one, which is cool. I like that one.
Yeah. Which also has nothing to do with Christmas.
No. and... I don't remember what I was just about to say, but it's okay. but yeah, they're so good. And like the bass, they've changed their lineup a little bit. And Avi, who was their original.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Bass singer is not with them anymore. I mean, the new guy's great. I think his name's Matt. They're still great, but like these arrangements are ingrained in my brain. Mm-hmm. I know like you watch A Christmas Story every year while you wrap presents last minute.
Yep.
So while I wrap Christmas presents last minute, I put on this album.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, singing along while I'm doing that. And it's fun to try and pick, as a choir nerd, it's fun to be like, try and hone in on a single voice and be like, okay, now I try to want to sing this person's part. Now I want to try to learn that person's part, which is kind of dorky, but it keeps it fresh, I guess, a little bit.
And then humbles you and you stop.
Holy moly. Yeah, that guy's insane. On Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, if you've not heard that one on this album. Wow. Wow.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is not on a Christmas album, but go on YouTube and look up, because they did this performance when I saw them live. Imogen Heap, Aha, live. Do a live version. It is like... I don't think up to that point I'd ever been to a live performance and went, whoa, like mind blown, full body chills. You'll know the moment when you hear it, and it's Mitch, of course. Yeah. And like their control is, and their blend is so good. And even, I mean, like, you can tell that, I mean, they have to, but like they put bass boost and stuff on, on Avi and stuff, but it, like that rumble.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get there.
Crazy. No, their pitch is dead on. And like, talk about more than the sum of your parts. Mm-hmm. Like every one of them is a phenomenal singer, of course, but their blend is.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Ridiculous.
I think at least three of them have been singing together since high school. Scott, Mitch, and Kirsten. I believe
I think that's right.
So they've been singing together a long time. So, you know, your blend gets better as you sing together. But
how did Scott do on Dancing with the Stars? I don't watch Dancing with the
Stars. I don't
know. He didn't. Not so good?
Oh.
No.
Oh. I didn't watch it, but.
Fifth?
That's pretty good.
Fifth week?
I don't know. I don't know how many people there are. There are a lot more than five. 12. Oh, sorry. So not half. Okay.
Okay. Well,
sorry. But you can sing really well.
They don't do a lot of choreography.
No.
And I guess it shows.
All right.
They do a lot of hand stuff in their little Brady Box pictures.
White Winter Hymnal thing.
They do a lot of like rhythm.
Yeah, body percussion stuff.
I don't know how they do that. It's like rub your head, pat your belly type thing.
There's a tutorial because my kids did that song and we tried to do it with the choreography.
Woo.
Nope. I'm like, just sing.
Just sing. Yeah. Okay. Park and bark.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the last pick. Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. This is going to be a surprise to everyone, but I'm going back to the 1950s.
What?
but this is not actually going to be a crooner. We're getting into the beginnings, the legends, the originators of rock and roll. Elvis's Christmas album from 1957.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so
I love singing along with this one, man.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear.
I know that Blue Christmas is a very controversial song for some people. Many people don't like it.
It's controversial?
Well, it's controversial in that a lot of people don't like it, I think. But yeah. I love the song. I love, you know, it's got a lot of character, you know. As for the album itself, pretty rare for a Christmas album to hit number one on the Billboard top charts, and this actually stayed number one for 4 weeks. It is certified diamond in sales, more than 20 million copies sold, more than 17 million shipments in the United States alone. Regularly appears on the all-time holiday list, Rolling Stones magazine, which we have a love-hate relationship with Rolling Stone magazine, ranks it among the very best Christmas albums. In fact, it's a 5-star album according to the Rolling Stone Christmas album guide. What I think is interesting about this album is that it incorporates a lot of what Elvis does really well. Not only does it have like some rock and roll to it, when you look at like Here Comes Santa Claus and Santa Claus Back in Town and stuff like that, but it also will incorporate some of those classic songs like he does White Christmas, I'll Be Home for Christmas, but also the gospel Elvis that mm-hmm. we know so well is really, really strong in this album as well. There's 3 songs from Peace in the Valley where he does just a phenomenal job on those. Really, really good. And, you know, this is the album that comes out before Jailhouse Rock. If you're trying to figure out where this is in the ascendancy of Elvis becoming
Elvis,
one of, you know, like, there are very few stars that hit the level of iconic stature mm-hmm. of Elvis. I mean, Michael Jackson, I would say, did it. But it's a... Madonna maybe in the 80s kind of hit that, but it's a small group that are in that, and this was hitting that peak range for him. I think that when you, it's almost universally considered to be almost a perfect Christmas album. AllMusic 4.5 stars, MusicHound 4.5 stars. Rolling Stone 5 stars, Rough Guides 5 stars. So when you look at it, and you start looking at how it is critically viewed, it's viewed very, very well by critics historically, and then it's got the music sales to back it up. So to me, I just like that it hits everything, and it previews, I think in some ways that maybe some of his other early albums don't, it previews the, I guess, thoughtful, epic Elvis that we get later on, like when he's doing much more heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like In the Ghetto is like, that's a heavy song. And so we're kind of getting a little sneak peek into what Elvis, the range that Elvis is going to have later on in a Christmas album, interestingly enough. So it's got some songs that, you know, when I think what makes a great Christmas album, there needs to be a song or two, I think, that everyone instantly recognizes. And Blue Christmas, obviously, there's no question at all who's singing Blue Christmas. I mean, this is like quintessential right. Elvis.
Anybody that ever sings it is still basically doing
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much version of Elvis.
And his two Christmas carols that he does are really good. The Old Little Town of Bethlehem and Silent Night are both really, really good versions of that song as well. So that's my third pick. Elvis's Interesting. They did not go crazy on the name. It's called Elvis's Christmas Album.
No, and when I was looking at albums, I was like, it was kind of like, you remember when we did Crazy Songs, and I was like, crazy, 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 crazy. It, like, it's like that with Christmas songs, like or Christmas albums. It's like Christmas songs. Like that. That'll be enough.
Yeah. So I guess we need to talk about, maybe we'll just list the ones that we did not get selected. I had a Charlie Brown Christmas. Mm-hmm. Pretty Paper by Willie Nelson. I'm still going back in time. A Motown Christmas. Still going back in time. The Magic of Christmas by Nat King Cole. Still going back. Here's your one.
Okay.
Christmas with Weezer. It's a good album.
I'm sure it is.
It's a good album. Weezer.
Yeah.
And Beach Boys Christmas album.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there was like little to no crossover.
I was alive only on the Weezer album when it was released.
The ones that I have are Alan Jackson, Let It Be Christmas. Ooh. And that is a really, really good Christmas album. Like, it, because we've talked about Alan Jackson before, mm-hmm. and how he's so conversational and just seems so genuine with what he's singing. So especially on the religious songs, I mean, you know, he believes what
tie
he's singing.
Ribbon is around yourself.
Yeah.
That's a
song. And but anyway, that's a
I
great,
only want you for Christmas.
Is that on that
yeah.
one?
I think so.
I
yeah.
listened to, I listened to the whole thing. I don't remember, but like
tie definitely. A ribbon around yourself.
But he he makes Christmas out Christmas music again, not gross sounding. Kelly Clarkson, Wrapped in Red. Tori Kelly, Christmas. NSYNC, Home for Christmas, obviously.
I cannot believe you did not draft that.
Well, I kind of can't either. But anyway, Leslie Odom Jr., The Christmas Album, mm. and Michael Bublé, Christmas. Gotta mm. have, yeah. Gotta mention Michael.
Heather, what did you have on
okay.
there?
I had... A Very Special Christmas, which is a compilation album from the late 80s and had a bunch of pop stars on it. And it was this proceeds went to the Special Olympics and it was a big, it was very 80s and I enjoyed it. Nat King Cole Christmas album, obviously. Twisted Christmas by Bob Rivers that has all those fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially There's Something Stuck Up in the Chimney, which is my personal favorite.
I thought that was Dr. Demento.
Mm-mm. Bob Rivers. He played it on the Dr. Demento show.
Show, okay. Maybe yeah. that's what it was.
Obviously, Mariah Carey's, Celine Dion's, These Are Special Times.
Oh, Celine.
And that Gaither vocal band is called Still the Greatest Story Ever Told. And yeah. I mean... It has, you know, Mark Lowry wrote Mary, Did You Know? So I feel like their version of Mary, Did You Know? Is the definitive
yeah, I agree.
Version. And I love it so much. And so, yeah. That's what I'm...
All right. So now we've got 9 selections that were drafted. Beth, can you tell us what they are?
Oh, yes. Ben drafted Bing Crosby, Merry Christmas or White Christmas, depending on which
year you bought it.
Yep. Frank Sinatra, A Jolly Christmas, Elvis's Christmas Album. And Heather drafted Point of Grace, A Christmas Story. You didn't say the name of the David Phelps album.
Joy Joy.
Okay, Joy Joy by David Phelps. And Trans-Siberian Orchestra. What? Sorry.
It's just so weird. It's weird picks.
Oh, and Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve and Other Stories. And I drafted Merry Christmas by Mariah Carey, Christmas Portrait by the Carpenters, and That's Christmas to Me by Pentatonix.
All right, so we have 9 albums. We have to go from 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
Okay, so we've got to narrow this list down from 9 songs to 5 songs, and they are so incredibly different. I mean, there's not a lot of crossover. So I wonder if maybe... someone would like to nominate somebody else's album to get put over into the top 5.
Savage.
Wow. Ooh, that's tough.
So I will start.
Whoa, that wasn't me.
Who was it?
That was not me.
Well, I've had 2 Coke Zeros And so that's the that was the what do you call it? With a carbonation coming up in my throat. What that was.
So we got fart noises. We got can noises.
That was Coke Zero. So I would say that, and part of it is because I think it's going to go over anyway, because I know how you both feel about Mariah Carey, but I would nominate Merry Christmas, Mariah Carey.
Oh, I thought he was going to cut one.
No, 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 no.
Were you about to be like,
I'm talking about to move somebody else's song over into the top five. So I would nominate Mariah Carey. I think it's probably going to be over into, if I was going to guess, I would think that it would be in the top five.
I'm going to nominate, I'm good with that. And I'm going to nominate Bing.
Okay. I believe both of them were called Merry Christmas at one point.
Yep.
Bing.
Beth, do you have one that you would like to nominate? Or are you are you going to play dirty and be like, nope, there's not?
No. Well, it's hard to decide.
If she's
going to
play really nice, she would nominate one of mine.
Well, if you would let me go.
Sorry.
That's what I'm having a hard time choosing, because I do like all three of yours. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a super classic Christmas kind of gal. Sorry. Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know if I should go with nostalgia and our family connection, our Christmas tradition, but I really love Joy Joy is like one of my favorite Christmas songs, period. It's so good. The content of that song is so good. But maybe I should not do it based on one or two songs. It's album. Think, Beth. Think. I'm going to go with Point of Grace.
So the entire first round is in if we all agree.
I'm good with it. Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like, because Beth has already said that she is not a big fan of class, that I am done for the day.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Because
I'm not saying I can't be swayed and see. Uh-oh.
If Mom had a vote, Elvis would be in.
And I would pick Elvis over Frank Sinatra. I know. Frank Sinatra, his voice gives me the creeps. I feel like it's gross to me.
I love Frank.
Slimy and skeezy.
I call him Uncle Frank.
He does seem like somebody's creepy Uncle Frank.
But you put Michael Bublé on your big list.
Mm-hmm. At 9, because I felt like I had to. Oh. I was running out of Christmas albums that I really liked.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
I missed that part. What? I was in a daze. I'm sorry.
You said she said that Michael Bublé, who I put on the end of my list, she feels like he tries to be Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he's less creepy. Just more douchey, less creepy.
Mm.
Sinatra's all class. He's all class.
Is he all class?
He's all class.
Because the stories that I have read
first class
did not suggest that he's all class.
Yeah. First class.
Well.
Okay. Well,
I don't know what to say.
Okay. Well, is there one that you would eliminate from contention?
We got to eliminate somebody else's.
Let's just say, if you could eliminate, not that they necessarily will be eliminated, but like if you were going to,
oh, okay.
Let's say it's Survivor and you're nominating somebody for the chopping block.
Okay. Well, for me, it would be Frank. Sorry.
Let me see. What were best choices?
I figured.
It hurts my soul. It's literally making me gag. You hear that? Heather, what would you pick one? If you had the power to eliminate one album off the list.
So it's Frank and Elvis, and then Beth had Pentatonics and
Carpenters.
Carpenter. Oh no. Oh no. Did you say you'd eliminate Frank?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. between Pentatonix and Carpenters and Elvis, I'm going to eliminate Elvis. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I told y'all I was done for the day. I told y'all. I would eliminate Pentatonix.
Okay.
And my reason, a lot of what went into my thought process for why I selected the albums that I did is, you know, we said, what's the best Christmas album? And so for me, it's like, what gives me that warm Christmas feel? I mean, that mm-hmm. was really kind of like the yeah. leading yeah. thing for me. And listen, the Pentatonix, I mean, there's no questioning their talent.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it gives me that warm, like even Trans-Siberian Orchestra, like there's such a body of sound mm-hmm. to them that it's like, I still kind of feel enveloped in a way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like I still kind of feel like I'm wrapped around by music. Pentatonix is they're really good, but it seems like it's, I can't do that. I can't sing along to that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as warm, I guess. It's I like warm.
You do. You lean into yeah. Christmas, yeah. like the whole of Christmas. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm. So
kind of like how we are with spooky season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You lean into.
So my elimination would be Pentatonix. So we've got one elimination for Frank, one for Pentatonix, and one for Elvis.
Oh, we couldn't pick the same one?
You could pick the same one.
Oh, would you have picked?
Would no, you have picked? I enjoy Frank more than
oh, got it.
See, she calls him Frank too.
It's his name.
Yeah, but I mean, like he's so good. We feel like we're on a first name basis with him.
Oh,
I do enjoy the vibe of that album. It seems mm-hmm. very
bougie.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
bougie.
Yeah.
Well,
Frank is pretty bougie though.
Bougie Christmas.
I mean, like he wore probably tuxedos and suits to well over 90% of his.
Yeah.
You know, performances. And he would never take the jacket off. You know, I mean, he was very formal.
Did this exercise help us at all?
No.
Okay.
Other than it did not give me a lot of hope that I'm going to get another one on the list.
Well, how many does that leave? How many spots does that leave?
If there were two spots.
It would leave Carpenter's Christmas, Joy Joy by David Phelps, and Trans-Siberian Orchestra. As if we eliminated those three, then that we would have to choose two of the three that were left. But where do you feel on Frank? Like, do you think Frank is a contender to be in the top five? Because that's really the question. I mean, like, if you're like, no, it's not a top five, then Frank's gone.
Oh. Oh, I don't know. Come back to me.
Okay. Well, what about you wanted to eliminate Elvis?
Yeah.
Do you think Elvis is a top five?
Out of the ones that are left.
Out of the ones that are left.
He would not be in the top five that I chose.
So it's
no.
Not looking good for Elvis. It's going to be a blue Christmas. Without you, Elvis.
The guilt trip. This is something else.
And your mom's like literally like just feet away.
Well.
And you know how she feels about Elvis. And you're just going to make her Christmas bad. That's
well, if she hadn't told me to shut my face when I was mocking Elvis, maybe we would be in a different situation.
We'll do an Elvis episode later.
She played herself.
We haven't done that.
No, we should do one.
We should do an Elvis episode.
So, I don't know. I told y'all this was going to be hard because our lists were so different. We've got three that are over. We got two spots left. It would appear that Elvis is not going to make the list. Frank is hanging on by a thread.
So we have four.
What about Pentatonix? Mm-hmm. Would Pentatonix be in your top five? Based on what we have remaining. Two spots. You have to choose two spots between A Jolly Christmas, Carpenter's Christmas, Joy Joy, David Phelps, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Pentatonix.
Pentatonix would not be in my top five simply because they misunderstand the assignment a lot of times when it comes to what goes on their Christmas albums.
Okay. So then that leaves.
Okay. So if we eliminate four. Pentatonix and Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Then that leaves four albums and two spots.
Okay. And so since I'm out of the running, well, no, not yet because Frank is still in. If I could pick the two, I would pick Sinatra, and then I'm torn between Carpenters and Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Those would be the other two that I would move in. So I have a one and then a 2A and a 2B for the two remaining spots. So what two would you put in? You've got your two songs left. Your two albums left.
I know what
I'm doing. You've got one album left, right? You've got, if we were to eliminate Pentatonix, you would still have Carpenters in there.
Mm-hmm.
So then what would your two be? Not your 2B, but your two.
My second choice.
Your second choice. Speaking of 2B, there's some decent stuff on 2B.
It's true.
And it's free.
Yep.
We are not sponsored by 2B.
No, but if they wanted to.
Yet.
I would probably choose Trans-Siberian Orchestra as a second choice.
Okay, I can get behind Trans-Siberian Orchestra being one of the ones in,
mm-hmm.
which would leave us with one spot remaining, and we're down to Frank, Carpenters. So we basically, okay, Carpenters, David Phelps.
Yeah. Oh, because she's not going to choose yours over hers. Is that how you're mathing
this? Well, we've each got one now.
We each got one left. With right. one spot remaining.
Oh, you did include him in that. Okay.
I did include what?
I don't know. Maybe I misheard you. Okay, so one spot, Frank, we've got David Phelps, Carpenters.
We've got to pick one from the second round, which was Sinatra, mm-hmm. Carpenters, David Phelps.
So one of us has to budge.
One of us has to budge. Or we could rank them all. What would your second pick be? Like for me? And this is how you know that I'm playing fairly.
I see.
Because my best chance to get in is Frank. So like if I was playing games here, I would say the David Phelps album would be my two because I would be trying to get her to put Frank at number two. But if Frank doesn't go in, my choice would be the Carpenters.
Okay.
You have already said that if yours doesn't go in, you definitely don't want Frank. So you would pick David Phelps over Frank.
Well, here's the deal is that my personal preference to listen to, yes, would be David Phelps. But at the same time, if I'm looking at in general, probably what more people would like, and I don't know if that matters. I am torn. I'm not to say just because I don't like it doesn't mean I wouldn't ever choose it. I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
Okay, so you definitely want David Phelps in, right? If you had to choose to eliminate Sinatra or Carpenters, which would you eliminate? Or which one would you put in? Let's think positively. If you could, okay. So if you had to put in Frank or Carpenters.
Whoa. I'm having the same problem because I would rather listen to the Carpenters, but if I'm going to have like traditional bougie Christmas party.
you've got two great voices. You got Karen Carpenter, Smooth as Silk.
Yeah.
And then you've got, I'm not going to say he's the best crooner of all time, but he's the most recognized crooner of all time.
Yeah.
He's the crooner of all crooners, Frank.
Oh, man. So it is your decision, essentially, because it does boil down to Frank Sinatra, the Carpenters, at this point. So you're going to have to be the deciding vote.
Because you're non-committal about Phelps or Sinatra, so you're like...
I would say...
Can you, real fast, can you pull up the track listing?
For
Carpenters and Frank?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really
hard. Okay, go ahead.
So, side one was the secular side for Sinatra's A Jolly Christmas. It included Jingle Bells, The Christmas Song, Mistletoe and Holly, I'll Be Home for Christmas, The Christmas Waltz, and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And then the sacred side had The First Noel, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I ain't going to say this right. Oh, Come All You Faithful. Mm-hmm. We'll use that.
Adeste
Fidelis. Yeah, I thought it was Adeste, but I was like, yeah, I'll just use I'll Come All You Faithful. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear and Silent Night.
Okay.
Can I make it easy on you?
Yeah.
After hearing that track list, that's like a lot of super classic Christmas songs. And, like, and these are, I mean, they are a lot of, but that, I mean, those are like standards of Christmas songs. And then they have some like odd ones on here that you wouldn't normally hear. And I feel like if you're looking like a Christmas album to just put on, more of those songs are known.
Yeah.
So I would probably go with Frank.
Okay. Yeah.
We did. So are we putting Frank in?
Let's do it.
Frank's in. Okay, great.
Now,
this ain't going to be easy either.
All right. So Mariah, Bing, Point of Grace, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Frank Sinatra.
It's got to come down.
I like that order.
It's got to come down to Mariah Carey and Bing for one, right?
Yeah,
I would think so.
That's the only thing that I would.
And I know how y'all are about Mariah Carey. I figure y'all are both going to get
well, that's Mariah up to Heather, Carey's. Really. And that's a tough call for sure.
Can you pull up the track list on those? I mean, because we're looking at, I mean, an album.
Right.
You have to look at it as.
Yeah.
Like where they place stuff is important, where, you know, what tracks they put on. Dead air.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Which version are you going to pull up?
So, we'll go with. I guess we'll go with the.
Oh.
You know, because they keep. I guess we'll go with the current one, the White Christmas one.
Okay.
It's got The Christmas Song, Jingle Bells, Silent Night, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Oh, Come All You Faithful. White Christmas. Joy to the World. It's a two album deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. The First Noel. Good King Wince. Away in a Manger. Deck the Halls. Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem and Silver Bells.
Okay. Mm.
Silent Night. All I Want for Christmas Is You. Oh, Holy Night. Christmas. Baby, Please Come Home. Miss You Most at Christmas Time, Joy to the World, Jesus Born on This Day, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Jesus, What a Wonderful Child.
Ooh, my goodness.
Very different. Very different.
I do appreciate that as a pop star, she had a significant number of sacred songs on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even some new songs that were Jesus-oriented.
I'm not sorry. That was me.
You know, like it's one thing for a pop star to do Silent Night. It's another thing to have a brand new.
Yeah.
You know, nativity based song just for that album. Yeah. That's a risk a lot of pop stars will not take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the gospel, you know, like Jesus, What a Wonderful Child is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that's a gospel standard, but mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's hard.
That is hard.
And you have two of the biggest singles in the history of, well, you have the biggest.
I'm going to, oh, man.
No pressure.
Golly. Based on nostalgia and, oh, gosh. Like, if you're going for that warm Christmas feeling, which I do like, I'll go Bing.
All right.
So that means Mariah's number two,
mm-hmm.
yeah. right? And then are we going to call three, four, three. And five?
I'm good with it.
I like the way they are.
What is three?
Point of Grace.
Point of Grace. I would probably move Trans-Siberian Orchestra up one.
I'm fine with that too.
Okay. But that's fine. But I mean, that's up to Beth.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Because that is a cool album. I mean, it's there. Mm-hmm. That's a. It's yeah. a unique sound that you don't hear anywhere else. I mean, pop stars are going to sing. Now, Mariah's voice is a different animal altogether, but
yeah.
like nobody sounds like TSO mm-hmm. when they do Christmas, you know? But like, even with Frank, I mean, Andy Williams,
yeah.
Frank Perry Sinatra, Como. Yeah, Mel Torme. I mean, there's just going to be a ton of them that, yeah. you know, Robert Goulet.
Oh, Goulet.
So we have a top five.
We do. The definitive list, ranked by the award-winning podcast, the music mm-hmm. list of the best Christmas albums in the history of music. Bing Crosby, White Christmas. Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve and Other Stories. Point of Grace, A Christmas Story. And Frank Sinatra, A Jolly Christmas.
All right, and we want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. And if you have some time and you're going to be traveling, go back through our catalog. We have a lot of Christmas episodes.
We'll get you at least to Dallas.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we got classic Christmas songs,
contemporary
Christmas songs.
Novelty.
We have nativity songs.
Nativity
songs.
Yeah.
So we got you covered. And then as you listen to the podcast, write those songs down. Make yourself a playlist. I think we've got a couple of playlists
mm-hmm.
on Spotify. So if you look mm-hmm. for us on Spotify, you can find we've got a contemporary Christmas list and a classic yeah. country. A classic Christmas list.
Oh yeah, we did Christmas carols.
Yep. So we can be your partner during this travel holiday season.
And then you can go to wherever you're going and fight with your relatives about That's right. it.
Yep.
And we want to, again, thank everybody that voted for us. We really like to win, so thank you. Thank you.
mm-hmm.
Thank you. And it's just good to know that the hard work that we put into it, you know, pays off and people are listening and, yeah. and voting. So thank you. We hit a major marker on total downloads. So I mean we're feeling pretty important today. So
what does that say that if you have that many downloads, like what it makes you top 10%.
Yeah. So
look out, Joe Rogan.
We're coming for you.
So
coming for you, Kelsey.
And we do want to remind you that go find us on no matter what platform. If you have time, this should be your Christmas gift to us. Go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, or go in and rate us on Spotify. It would be a big help to us to help spread this and share. That's big too. So, but we want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, and we will be back shortly after Christmas with the best of 2025. So we'll help you maybe start building your collection for 2025 as you go into 2026. So Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. She almost had it.